The following cast contains rude, crude, and disgusting language. You can leave now, but I wouldn't.
No. Ladies and gentlemen. For what?
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What's up, you little motherfuckers? We're back again for episode 3. I'm Kevy Metal.
I'm Maddie Studios.
And you're listening to Heavy Meta.
Woohoo, episode 3. We're here, and we're going to get this thing kicked off really fast. As you know, we like to do this shotgun style.
That's right.
Yep.
And I'm drinking, too, so this should be good.
Yeah, we are always drinking. We are never dry for these shows. So we're going to start it off. I just want to touch on briefly, we have been reading all your comments. Thank you for commenting, anyone who has, and we are taking all of your suggestions.
Yeah,
and we're going to make the show better. So here we go.
The only way to make this show any better is for you to comment and let us know. So those of you that haven't commented, like every person in the world that hasn't commented.
Yeah, comment, motherfucker, because if you don't, then we're just going to do shit that we think is funny. You may hate it. I don't know.
Exactly. Well, and then again, we're probably also going to take some of your comments and just laugh about them and continue to do whatever the fuck it is that we want to do. But we do at least consider them.
Hey, maybe. Hey, your comments at least make us laugh.
Yeah, at least we get a kick out of it.
All right, so we're going to start things off with something that a lot of people requested, and that is a quick heavy meta style financial overview, I guess, of what's going on in the MTGO realm. And there is some movers and shakers, and I guess I'll start off and we can give a quick comment on each one. I don't know if you know, Kevy, but Sphinx's Revelation, that's that card draw life gain spell.
Yeah.
That thing.
I heard that thing is popping off.
Yeah, that thing is up to $11. So
I wouldn't know anything about it because it's not black and it's not red.
Exactly. But it seems to be dropping in a lot of the UI shells. And the
isn't that what everybody's talking about, too, though, that it's like the mirror of
Rakdos? Well, if you read Meryl's blog, he says that it is not and was never designed, you know, to be that way. And I'm like, what are you, fucking stupid? If the community comes up with something that was better, I mean, it makes sense. And they're just being, you know, we're high and mighty. No, it was not designed that way. You're fools.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You made it an exact opposite of
an exact opposite
turn.
Exactly.
So you can say whatever you want, but whatever, dude.
Oh, and speaking of Rakdos' return, I saw somebody tweet today. They're like, I don't remember who it was. I think somebody like retweeted it, but they're like, you know, whoever decided to call the guild leader and the spell, you know, both and the guild Rakdos needs to jump off a cliff, because I'm really sick of saying I lost again to Rakdos the creature. And all I could really come up with for that is like, well, then why don't you start winning and then you don't have to say you lost.
Man, stop sucking so bad.
Yeah, quit sucking and then you don't have to tell people you lost to Rakdos the creature. Anyway, sorry.
Anyways, it's jumping up. I mean, it was at a bottom of about 3 to 4 tickets. That's what I picked it up for. I didn't pick up many because I was hoping it would bottom out even further, but it is not. Something to note, though, people who are speculators or not really speculators, but people are just trying to get play sets. I think Rakdos' return is also going to start going up. I mean, it is – that thing is – if you can get that out or power it out earlier, it's basically game over. So
right.
you hit that turn 4, all their Thrag Tusks are in the bin. You don't have to worry about them. That's something to watch. I'm not saying it will spike. I'm not Medina, but it is a card that seems to be really fucking powerful.
Right.
Another one that is just taken over, which is red, is Thundermaw Hellkite again.
Oh, God, yes.
Still going, man. It's at 20.
Jesus.
That thing is like – and I picked – like when M13 came out and it was just about at its bottom and everyone was ragging all about that Thrag Tusk. You know, I bit the bullet and I bought one or two, I think, for 5-6 tickets. I really wanted to get a playset, but I missed the boat. So it's at 20 and I'm not paying it. I think that's way too much. I mean, I get it that Lingering Souls is coming back, and you've all seen Jesse's pack rat attempt at
S. Yeah. Which you just fucking went deep on and got fucked.
No, I didn't get fucked. So Jesse tweeted all these cryptic things about this new deck that he just broke thing. And I, you know, when Jesse does, he says that shit, I pay attention. He's a very good brewer. And he showed me the list, and it's essentially Esper tokens, and he wanted to brew Pack Rat. And I was like, well, I know for a fact, if you get Pack Rat in draft, you basically have won if you know how to play it. It's a very powerful card. So, you know, maybe he's right. I played against the deck online several times. I wasn't very impressed. I mean, it had very explosive draws, and at the same time, it didn't. And, you know, it was one of those things, but I was like, well, how much is Pack Rat? And I think it was like 8 cents.
Right.
So about like 10.
Oh, okay.
If it goes to 20 cents, I can double my money to 40 cents. I don't know.
Like, yay!
Big deal, right? I don't know. I think it's over, but you never know. Yeah. People like rats, man. Maybe they'll make a fucking rat deck. Another one, though. Yeah, that one of them that is obviously we all know the bank control list.
Uh-huh.
And Angel Serenity. It's up to $17 now.
Did you see Durfington's new...
If you haven't seen Durfington's comment or comic, you have to check it out, because what is it? Paint this fucker?
Paint this fucker, yeah. Yeah, go check that out, Durfington's comic strip, Dirtling Around on manadeprived.com.
I think it's one of his top three. It's his top three. It's almost my favorite. I want on a t-shirt.
That one's funny as hell.
One of the best. But speaking of angels, obviously Angel Serenity, that card is very... Right. Very powerful. I think it's probably going to stay up in those numbers, though. I don't see, unless Gatecrash comes out. Now, just so everyone knows, I mean, we know Boros is coming. We know that's going to be very fast. It's going to be very aggro. So maybe the aggro decks like Kevy loves to play can get in.
Yes.
Decks, you know, dominate the board, but who knows?
So. Speaking of that, I was kind of like thinking about this the other night, because I was still kind of tuning in my fucking Jund list I'm playing with right now.
Yeah.
But when I, you know, speaking of Boros coming in, and I know we touched on this before, I sold off my playset of Bonfires because I'm watching them fucking plummet like crazy.
Oh, now I was just going to touch on that too. Bonfire, listen to this. We all know Bonfire was going for $39.40, right?
Yep.
Now, here's what's funny. When it was at that peak, they were buying. And this is the – people, take notice. Don't look at what they're selling for. Always look at what
buying for.
The bots are buying for, because that's telling you if the spread is very high, it means, you know, it's probably a spike. And when they were buying for 35 and selling for, like, 37, you know the card has value.
Right.
Bonfires are currently buying for $13.
Oh, wow.
So – Heavy was probably very smart, and I might be selling off my Bonfires as well.
Yeah, because I dumped mine, this was literally like a week ago, and I dumped mine at 28.
Wow, that's good.
And because I just saw him, going down, and I knew that, like, as far as, like, value-wise, like, because I don't have a shit ton to throw into, you know, cards right now. So, like, I was like, you know what, I've got to get away from this Black-Red Zombies deck because everybody's hating it out, so I've got to find some sort of alternative. But I need to trade some shit off for it, because I'm not going to be able to afford the staples right now. You know, like, I was like, oh, I could give it a couple weeks and see what happens. Or, you know what, I think I'm going to get rid of these Bonfires. Let me see what they're doing. I would have liked to keep them around because I'm still playing a Jund list. So, you know, they would have been nice to even board in a couple. But I was like, you know what, fuck it. You know, they're dropping like crazy. Maybe I should get rid of them now before they get any fucking cheaper. And literally, that was like a week ago. I think I sold them at 27 or 28.
I think that's a good move. Smart.
And yeah, like, shit, if they're buying them for 13 now, then Jesus.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously some bots may be buying higher, but
right.
I did a quick scan. And
well, that's a definite, like, I mean, it'd be one thing if it was like one or two tickets difference, but like,
I mean, I can also see that when Boros hits, it might spike again. So maybe you sell now. Buy when they bottom out and dump them again. I don't know.
That's exactly. I think that I want to, like, I miss them already. Every time I've had a Bonfire cat,
you know, the one that
sold them.
See, do you really? Because every time I play with Bonfires, the card looks powerful. But if you don't, like, I just was testing this morning a red-white human list, and I have 4 Bonfires in it, and my opening draw is 2 Bonfires. And I'm like, that's just, it makes me want to just give up, because I don't want to see that card.
In my Zombies deck, it wasn't bad, though. Like, my Zombies deck, it worked out to have them. Like, there was a couple times I would always end up with these Bonfires sitting there dead in my hand if I drew them in my opening hand. But I started to learn that the way that deck operates, yeah, it might be a dead card in hand, you know, for the first few turns. But then, like, that deck operates so fast, and it does what it does, and it's, you know, like...
Yeah, but you probably win games without even casting it. So
that's the thing, is like I mean there were times where I would, but there were so many times that was like my perfect fucking, you know, even though I had
turn
to fucking
5 sweeper.
Exactly. Even though I had to hard cast it, like fucking that was what, like, if they could get enough of a chance to stabilize against the onslaught of death, like then all of a sudden it was like, oh shit, I'm losing momentum, and now they're starting to be able to stabilize. I might not be able to pull this out because this thing runs out of gas fast. And then that is what saves me late game. I'm like, oh, cool. I can put a couple across your face and wipe your board and then just come in and fucking swarm.
And you know what, though? That makes sense, because you look at what's hitting the table at turn 5 if you've got a Bonfire in hand, right? It's
right.
Thragtus. It's Centaur Healers, all with power of 3. So your Bonfire is dead until you hit then turn 7, which you're dead then, right?
Yep.
So I can see it makes a lot of sense why... There's Bonfires just, to me, are too random to
right. It's
battle
it, like,
those decks.
Well, it worked out well in Zombies when it was doing well. To even, like I said, to even have a dead one, you know, sitting in my hand for half the game and then use it late game. But then once, you know, again, once Thragtusk really came online, like...
Thragtusk killed it. I agree.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, man, like, you're like, oh, cool, I'm gonna fucking... Oh, wait, that doesn't do me any fucking good, because they basically just negated everything I fucking did.
Yep. Actually, they're gaining more life.
they're gaining more life than I just took away. And they
then they blink it. Oh, the angel got it. Oh, you're fucked.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, man. Like...
Yeah, so that's something to watch out for. Bonfires may have, you know, seen their light of day, and now they're heading back.
I still think, though, I think that you were right. Like, we touched on this before, too, though, that the fact that, you know, this red-white-black thing that might...
I don't know, man. I'm liking it.
With Boros coming in, this red-white-black thing, or just, like, some of, like, the Jund lists, like, what they'll get from, like, Gruul.
Yeah. See, like, the land...
I think that
it's gonna be
Boros,
good.
I mean, I think that both with Boros and Gruul, like, you know, you might really see a resurgence in Bonfire, but I don't think people are looking far enough.
Bonfire, Bonfire also fits in the Rug deck too, which we'll touch on in a bit. I have a really interesting Rug human list I'm trying to build brew, but obviously I'm missing that that bounce land, or not that bounce land, the shock land that's coming in the next gate. The blue-green one, because without it, the mana base is just too shit. But to wrap up our finance section, no shocker, Goyf is down to 50 tickets online, and it was 100, I believe it was touching. It was in, I think it was a touching around 80 to 90. I don't think it was 100. And that's not a surprise. People are dumping their Goyfs. Varying opinion between some of the people saying that you should be buying now, and some are saying just get out of the position altogether.
Yeah. This is kind of uninformed.
I wouldn't buy him at 50, so. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, I guess it's one of those things where, like, okay, if you, you know, not from a financial perspective.
No, I just play with them. Like, I don't own
them. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, if you're wanting to get into the modern format and you're wanting to, like, you literally have a legitimate reason to buy Goyfs other than, you know, an investment kind of thing, then maybe it wouldn't be such a bad thing. I mean, for what they were at, you know, them being $100
maybe.
A pop.
Maybe. Then, I don't know.
You know, basically you're getting a playset for half of what, you know, at this point.
But, okay, do you think, though, I don't think Goyf is going to ever recover, right? Like, when Modern Masters hits and the supply, especially the fact that you can't redeem online, people don't forget that.
I guess
so many people are forgetting that you don't redeem online with Modern Masters. So all that paper, all that digital objects, they're not getting redeemed and dumped out of the system. So,
right. That is true.
Well, like, here's a question for you. Like, we both are on the fence about, like, really seriously getting into modern, because it is expensive, and, you know, I'm not sure. But what do you think's the bottom? Like, how much would you pay? And do you even care? Do you want Gwaifs? Like,
I don't know. Like, it just seems like to me, and again, this is fairly uninformed because I'm not big on modern. I don't know much about it. But like, just from what I've seen, yeah, it's great. It seems powerful, but it seems like there are plenty of other options. It's not like
it's just because it's like so low on the curve.
Right.
Two mana.
It fucking still dies to shit. Like,
yeah, I mean,
it's not like the thing is fucking super indestructible. It's a fucking annoying creature. It still dies to shit. Yeah, you can still take care of it. You know, any run of the mill fucking removal spell, like, you know, you can still get rid of it. And so, like, I don't know. It just, to me, and again, I mean, I might be missing something, but there just seems like so many more powerful fucking cards out there.
Yeah, especially for that dollar, right? Like, like, let's say it hit 30, which is probably getting close to the buy-in point for most people.
I'd rather fucking play Dark Geist and Thraft than fucking...
Yeah, I could see it. Yeah, I mean...
That just seems like, to me, that just seems like a hell of a lot more fucking powerful card. And you know, it's more resilient. You know, it's fucking... And I mean, maybe I'm drawing the wrong parallels here and stuff. But just as an example, like fucking Geist of St. Traff seems like a way, way fucking better card to me.
And Geist of St. Traff, there's another one. That thing is going to be hitting... I'll tell you right now, people, Geist of St. Traff is going to hit $40.
Yeah, but look at what we're talking about, which cracks me up. Like, we're talking about Goyf plummeting, like, and coming all the way down to 50, and then maybe 40, and then we're talking about how fucking Geist is going up and is going to hit 40, and Geist is a fucking, in my opinion, a fucking better card than Goyf is anyway.
I agree.
It's kind of funny that, like, I mean, depending on, like, that goes to show you that, like, the fact that Goyf is expensive as it is, even, you know, or as it was and even is now, is kind of fucking silly. Like,
well, remember this, and here's something to anyone who's thinking about taking a stake in Goyf. Wizards of the Coast has stated many times they want to make creatures more powerful. I go back many times through my collection and look at like older cards and be like, hey, it'd be awesome to play with this. And you're like, yeah, but this creature's shit compared to like anything that they make in the new set.
Make it now, yeah.
So from a purely, I don't know, power standpoint, I don't know. I just think they're going to keep pushing creatures. I can't see them not. So maybe one day they're going to make a one mana Goyf. Who knows? They're going to make something. Like, for fuck's sake, they made Thragtusk. They made a fucking... they made that card. So I know someone, and I know Smitty, make sure you bust Thragtusk in Modern, because just fuck that damn format over, too. Yeah. God, I hate Thragtusk. So that's something to think about. Here's a really good tip, though. I've always loved Slayer's Stronghold. That's the red-white land.
Yeah, I've got the
four. I picked up, like, 20 of them. And they're basically nothing. I think they're like 4 cents. And I picked them up for one reason. Boros, it's coming. I can guarantee you that thing is going to just destroy. Now, also, the guy playing in the SCG Open was using Slayer Stronghold with Geist of St. Traff, basically turning it into a single massive 8 damage a turn with haste. Okay. So he drops it. Boom, 2 mana. Now the Geist is hitting for 4, the Angel's hitting for 4. Very impressive, very powerful. Oh, yeah. You know, I love it. And my favorite thing to do with Slayer Stronghold was in the black, red, white reanimator deck. So you drop Grizzlebrand, poof, you just hit them that turn with Grizzlebrand for 9, and then draw 7 cards. Oh, I love it so much.
I just use it as a utility thing. Like, my Boros deck is, like, basically your Champion of the Parish and your Thatcher's Revolts and, like, and just red-white, like, you know, humans deck. And then, you know, with, like, Riders of Gavinny at the, like, upper end of it.
Which, by the way, Riders of Gavinny, buddy, that card, I just added that to the high-end curve on the red-white human list.
Mm-hmm.
And it is basically an overrun.
Riders of Gavinny is fucking dope.
Yeah, like, I was playing against this guy, and he's got, like, he goes, Lingering Souls, and I'm like, okay, Riders of Gabany, naming spirit.
Name spirit.
Everyone, just go in.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's what, like, I'm running, like, that list runs Riders of Gabany and Geist Honored Monk. But, yeah, that, like, even that Slayer Stronghold is nice, just a nice fucking, like...
I like it. I think it's very
utility for that, yeah. It's just a utility card for that deck. It's just like, oh, you know, I can pump this, and you know, all of a sudden shit starts growing exponentially, especially those fucking champions.
And don't forget the vigilance.
It's a human.
And yeah. Don't forget, it gives it vigilance. So,
yeah.
And a couple of tricks that I use with it. I play it with a lot of the first strike, so the Precinct Captain and any of the first striking white creatures. And even if you don't attack with it, right, because most players, when you're playing against them, expect you to do it before the combat step so that you get the vigilance. But I don't know how many times I've fucking got guys to swing into me, and my 2-2 guy suddenly gets first strike, and he's got 4 first strike. So he takes out a Thrag Tusk without dying.
And
it's something to think about. It is a little mini pump spell that a lot of people kind of forget. Because most people sit on the attack. So something interesting to think about.
Right.
Another really wicked interaction that came out, which, man, I don't know how I didn't see this, but is it Staticaster, which is the Flash Pinger and Nightshade Peddler. So it's good old Basilisk Caller and Spark Mage Apprentice for those who played Zendikar Days. Pretty cool. I mean...
Oh, fucking just like that, that just brings you meeting to death touch. Like that thing just touches fucking everything and kills it.
It's interesting. I saw that interaction on the SCG Open, and I wanted to see, is there a possibility to make a rug human list? So I'm working on it. It's kind of interesting. It's got of course Delvers, Snapcaster Mage, is it Staticaster, Nightshade Peddler, and a ton of spells, and then my pet card, Silver Dagger.
Silver. Well, I was gonna say, does Stalker fit in that list anywhere?
Yeah, Stalker's in there as well too. Yeah. So the idea is very similar to almost Cobblade Days, where if I... Because you think about the dagger. It goes on anyone. They're like a 4 or 5 power creature. If you throw it on a Delver and it flips, it's 6 damage in the air. Like, it doesn't take a long time to kill them.
Right.
It's kind of...
Another thing with that, too. Like, I don't know how much you have messed with... Like, I had a green-white humans list I was messing with for a while, and I could never really get it to work well. But Champion of Lamholt and Hamlet Captain are really good with those human lists.
Yeah, well, there's something I want to touch on, which is, of course, we all know recently they made the human subtype, but they are pushing it, I think, way too far. Like, just for fun, if you go into, you know, Modo and you type in human in the search field, and you see what comes up, and you're like, what other creature has this flexibility? None. Vampires, zombies, nothing. I mean... Imagine if we had a artifact that was a silver inlaid dagger for zombies.
Oh yeah!
Holy shit! Like it would be ridiculous, right? Like, so
I could play my zombies deck again and win.
No, you'd probably still lose, but So
I bet that would just be play skill, though.
Exactly. So I guess that's gonna wrap up the financial and the brews section of heavy meta. But
we are starting to sound a little bit too much like those.
Yeah, we're starting to sound like all those fucking.
So what do you think I should do on turn 4 against?
Oh no, did we go there? have to kill ourselves.
Yeah, that will never ever be this cast except for that little bit you witnessed, you know, there for the last 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize. This will never happen again. Yeah. But something that I don't know, man. I think someone has to apologize because. I know a lot of people talked about it. I know we're a little late to the game, but our cast came out kind of the day after shit went down. So it's been a week, but I'm going to touch on it. The TSG, of course, appearance on the A team has sparked a lot of opinion. I know I personally...
Is that what they're calling it nowadays, opinion?
Yeah, well...
No, go ahead.
Even I personally went on Twitter. I mean, and I've had a couple, you know, tweets back and forth with him, and I know Tangent is another person that kind of like went at him a little hard, but it's not that we're trying, and I know some people are like, leave him alone, let the drama die, blah, blah,
leave TSG alone, leave me alone.
Now, look, I'm not trying to attack him, I'm not saying anything. I'm a Canadian, he's a Canadian, who cares? But the point is this, if If you were framed, okay, I want to go and start a campaign to literally catch the people who framed you at Channel Fireball, because I love Channel Fireball, and to find out that they have framed you means I feel like they need to pay. If you're lying...
I'm going to stop, you know, using their services. I'm going to do it. I would completely stop dealing with them whatsoever if they're, like, actually going as far as framing somebody.
Well, that's... Yeah. Hey, if you haven't listened to the episode, listen to it and come to your own conclusion. But when I heard it, all I heard was... I'm not going to get into the details, but I was framed. He never said the words framed, but listen to it.
He very, very much alluded to it. It's not something like that a couple whack jobs on the internet took and construed as he was framed. Like, everybody pretty much got that out of it. He's alluding to the fact that he was framed. Yet he keeps using the art, like, I don't want to start any shit with anybody. I don't want to cause any problems. I don't want to say anything.
Right, but you were framed. So
basically, yeah, like this body. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
So let me clear the thing. So the whole point is, if you were framed, then I need to go talk to people at Channel Fireball, and I'm like, this is not cool. If you are lying, I want to burn you at the stake.
Yeah,
because not only, and here's what I'm upset about, and TSG, listen. Bob, why are you at this? Listen, man, I have I don't know you. I think you're a very good caster. I think you're very good at, Channel Fireball, and I miss you. And I think the community misses you, and I think you did a great job. The problem is, the credibility is so gray right now. Who are you?
Right.
Like, I don't know. It's just very, very bizarre. I mean, I know Jay Bush and Scotty and everybody. They tried. I to the cast, and they tried for 45 minutes to get something out of the guy.
Jay's lying. Did you pay for those cards? I almost peed my pants. But sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean, what are you going to do? At the end of the day, I don't even know if Barbara Walters or Charlie Rose could have gotten anything out of him. But you know.
Look in. What it comes down to...
Why the fuck did you go on the show and not say anything? Like, if you're innocent, then you'd be shouting it and saying, I'm fucking innocent.
Exactly.
This motherfucker framed me, this motherfucker did this, fuck you and die.
Exactly.
Right?
And if what I'm getting at.
Right? Now listen. If you did steal the cards and you were caught... Then go.
Well, I fucked up, man. Like, yeah, come out and just be like, oh, look, you know what, guys? I fucked up. I stole some shit. I hope you guys will forgive me. Like, my morally corrupt fucking values, but I'd have been all, man, you know what? That's pretty cool. You fucked up. You came out. You said, hey, I fucked up. And done. And you know what? Let's move forward. You're still fucking.
I actually, you know what? I agree 1,000%. If he had come out 2 weeks after and said, I made a mistake, here's the bonfires back, whatever, let's move on. I would have more respect for him now, and not only would I have more respect, I would want to work with him, and I would be like, all right, let's see. You know, give him a chance. But you know what? And, man, flame me all you want, but listening to that episode, it was like listening to OJ.
Yeah.
The glove didn't fit. Yeah, but we're not talking about gloves. But the glove don't fit.
If Chewbacca is a wiggy,
we're talking about cards. Did you steal cards? The glove don't fit. The sleeves don't fit, man.
Yeah, no shit.
Don't fit over.
No, and see, the shitty part is, it's like, okay, you know what? Basically, according to him, like the way everything kind of came out is that, you know, he kept skirting the issue, he kept dancing around the issue, he wouldn't really come out and give a fucking flat out honest answer, but he was alluding to the fact that he didn't do it, and like he alluded to the fact that he didn't do it, and that he was like framed. So you got one of two options, and the sad part is, you got one of two options: either he stole the shit and then he's still lying about it,
which is the worst.
And it's like, you know what? Fuck it. You could have just come out and said it, but whatever, you know, stole a shit in your line. Or even like, this is the shitty part is, even if what he is alluding to is absolutely true and he was fucking framed by the fucking man, all that he still comes out as is a pussy for not fucking doing anything about it.
Yeah. Or like, a liar. It's like,
you're either a liar or a pussy. Great.
It's called take a position. Stand up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If he'd have come out and said, look, I stole the shit, you know, great. You know what? You're manning up to your fucking mistakes. I'm sorry. I fucked up. You know, ban me if you want to, whatever. And then we fucking move on. And the guy can continue on with his projects, do whatever the fuck he wants to do. You know, because he's obviously, before this whole fucking incident, he's a valuable member of the community. You know, he brought things to the community.
And he was an entertainer. He was entertaining to watch, so.
Right. And so you can fucking, you know, people get past it, of course, when something like that happens. You're going to lose fucking fans. You're going to lose face. But, hey, you know, if it was what it was and you stole the shit, that's your own fucking fault. You lose face. Then you move forward with things. Or if you were completely fucking framed, then Jesus Christ, you get your own fucking website, fucking domain name, and you start this fucking – you get the whole goddamn world against this fucking – the man that framed you and start bringing every bit of evidence you can to light. But, you know, coming out and saying, like, I didn't do anything. Any of this stuff I was accused of publicly by this fucking company, I didn't do any of it, but I don't want to drag anybody's name through the mud, I'm going to sit around. Yeah, that
let
just
me tell you right now. Here,
fucking pussy.
Listen to this. Listen to this, okay? Kevy, let's play a little role-playing game, okay?
So, I'm not BTS.
No. We're going to play a role-playing game. There's no dresses and there's no Vaseline and no one's puckering up this time.
I don't want to play this. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, no, seriously. So I'll be TSG, okay, and you be LSV. Okay, so now write your article. Okay, so post your little thing today. What are you saying?
Well, I don't know how this works though. Like,
you don't know what the good would get. Okay, so basically what I want to say is here's what I would do. Okay, let's play Matt and Kevy. Okay, Kevy posts a video on YouTube and says, "Matt, you stole my fucking grave collars, my shiny foil grave collars that are bent still." Okay, now here's what I would do. I would post my own video, and it would say, "I didn't steal your fucking grave collars, you fucking asshole. And not only did I didn't steal your grave collars, but you're framing me."
Yeah.
Okay, here's where I was at 12 o'clock on noon. You said I stole it. Where's your proof? Yeah, where's your proof? And I would the next day, and then go ahead and do whatever you want. You want to launch a Twitter campaign? You want to go on a radio show? I will be there, and I will defend myself to the last fucking second. Like, to not... The day LSV posted that letter, I would have been up within a second on Twitter going, "It's a lie, it's a lie. Here, what show wants to have me on tonight?" Do you know what? Every show, limited resources, they would have had you on.
Yeah.
To go hide in a corner, I know you had your shit going on, but dude, it's moronic.
Yeah, to spend months coming up
with
what he came out with, like, come on, dude, if you're going to spend months trying to figure out how to come out.
It sounds like OJ, go golf. Shit,
yeah, exactly.
I don't want to beat you any further than you've been beaten, because I don't even know if I like you. I don't know, because I don't know because you're gray, right? Like, everything is about you is I don't even know who you are anymore. I thought I did. And the old TSG, I would, you know, I'd take a bullet for him because I thought he was amazing for the community. This TSG who is wishy-washy, I love you, man, but I don't know who you are. So until it's clear, I have to just sit on the sidelines. I don't know what to think.
One of the things I caught too, one of the things that he brought up was the fact that, like, when he was talking about it, was that everything in that statement was carefully worded. Like, the last paragraph from LSV, those were LSV's words, but everything else was carefully worded. And that wasn't an LSV. But it's like, do you realize how incredibly scripted this whole interview you just gave?
Exactly. Who gives a shit who wrote it?
I think you brought it up right. Like, you said something along the lines of, it sounds like a lawyer talking.
It did. It sounds like he went to a lawyer. The lawyer said, "You're best solution is this," and he's implementing it.
Yes,
and if that's true, now, hey, I don't know. It might not be, but if it is, it's failing large, dude, and I don't know who your lawyer is, but you should fire them.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on, because this topic is fine. The miracle.
If some motherfucker comes out with some, like, you know, actually showing us some evidence, like, I'm just going to basically file that one off to, yeah.
I don't even want evidence. You know what? I don't even want evidence. I just want you to come out with a fucking backbone. Just say, hey.
Yeah, stand up for yourself a little
bit. This motherfucker framed me. This person, LSV, Brian Kibler. I don't know, whoever the fuck runs the damn thing. Not that Brian Kibler has anything to do with Channel Fireball. I don't know why I named his name. But anyways, you know, regardless, Who knows? All I know is this. LSV is probably one of the most honest person. I could probably give him $20,000 in cash and say, I'll be right back. Can you watch this for me? It's unmarked bills. And he, you know what? There'd probably be $20,001 when I got back. So I don't know. I don't know how much involvement he had in the business side, but yeah. I can almost guarantee I would put my kids' lives in that guy's hands. I don't see him lying. So, right. Anyways, end of topic because it's got to go, man. It's got to go.
Yeah, I'm gonna start getting angry.
It does, doesn't it? Make you angry? Like, yeah. He was right when he said, "I'm listening to this episode. I'm 45 minutes in, and I'm getting angry."
Yeah, he's getting pissed.
Frustrating me this episode.
Yep.
All right, and now people are like, "I'm listening to Heavy Metal Episode 3."
And I'm just
frustrating these fucking guys. All right, so
keep it going. We need to see how long we can keep people talking shit about TSG on the internet.
We can have the TSG corner every episode. Eventually, we got to get them on. But now, moving on to something else that frustrates us, because as you know, we like to talk about stuff that frustrates.
Everything pisses us off.
Everything pisses us off. We're a bunch of angry old fucking men. All right, you know, last episode we had a lot of great feedback on the Commander's Arsenal and Modern Masters, and you know how it feels like we are getting. I won't use the word because several people didn't like the R word used. It felt like we were taking a dildo up the ass. How's that?
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't like dildos.
Forcibly taking a dildo up the ass. Is that better? I like the word rape. I'm going to keep saying it.
No. So anyways, of course, you probably see me on Twitter. I like to, I just want to get answers, man. I mean, I'm not trying to troll wizards or anything. But I put out a couple comments saying, yeah, exactly. But I put out some comments saying, you know, it feels like you don't interact with the community very well.
Right.
And if anyone falls, Helen,
yeah, there are a few that
do. Yeah, I mean, she is, I think, in my opinion, I think she's one of the best people at Wizards for talking to the community and implementing action immediately. So is Lee Sharp, so is Warren, so is Trick Jarrett, so is Worth. I mean, these guys, like, you can ask them a question and boom, they're on it. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know. You're probably like, who the fuck are you? Why should they even talk to you? And I'm like, well, I'm number one, I play the game. I play it a lot. I pay a lot of money. Does that mean my opinion matters more than yours? No, of course not. But, yeah,
but
you know,
you're a Magic player. You're a consumer of their product.
And I'm sure a lot of people see my tweet, see the answer, and go, wow, I like this company. They get back to people really quick.
Right. So
anyways, that being said, because there are some people doing excellent jobs, and I'm sure there's more that we're not going to mention at this point, but I'm sure there is a lot. There is one point, though, that I feel Wizards completely fails. And if you read Meryl's blog, a couple of people have posted some comments about the Commander's Arsenal. And in his own words, this is what one of the posters said. He said, if you had been given the ability to see into the future, would you have considered giving Commander's Arsenal a bigger print run? I know. And Meryl's response is, yes, if we knew what we knew now, Commander's Arsenal would have a bigger print run. Now, this is funny. Predicting things months ahead of time with a product unlike anything we've made before at a price point we've never done is hard. And my answer to that is, if you had asked the community, simply saying, hey, we're thinking about this product, let's poll 50 of the top Commander players. 50 responses back would have been, holy shit, this sounds amazing. How much are you selling this for and how many are you printing? So again, simple market research could have saved you a massive debacle. If anyone doesn't believe that's true, I'm sure we've all witnessed the SCG announcement of announcements.
Right. Yeah, the super announcement.
Where they built up this amazing thing and then they released a new website design, which was pretty shitty. Sorry, it's not that good. So again, all they had to do is pull a couple people and say, hey, for 2 months, we're going to hype the shit out of this thing. What do you think? And I guarantee you most people would have said, don't do that. That's a really stupid idea. So to Wizards and to anyone out there, because I do, you know, my day job is a creative director and I'm in marketing. It's just common sense. The more knowledge you have, the smarter the decision you'll make. So
right.
It's one of those things that I just wish Meryl maybe Aaron Forsyth, maybe more people up higher up would engage the community and just be like, hey, guys, you know, we're thinking about making modern
maps. This is what we're thinking. You know, what are your opinions on it at least? Because it seems to me, and, you know, I haven't been around this community nearly as long, so there's I'm sure there's plenty of like things that have happened similar in the past or you know, different sets that have released or whatever that they've had issues with, but it seems to me just since I've been around, that's happened so much where it's like once something, you know, once it's too late and the, you know, the set is out or the set, you know, it's out the door, then all of a sudden there's all these huge fucking issues with it where it's like, you guys couldn't have fucking pulled the Magic community 6 months prior or a year prior while you were developing this and being like, hey, here's a major fucking snag in this whole fucking ordeal. Like, you know, as soon as Commander's Arsenal came out and it's so limited, like everybody's pissed about it. Jesus Christ, what was it, like $30 for one of the spin down life counters out of that thing?
Well, that, jeez. Now see, yeah, you had to bring that up.
Yeah.
But what I'm shit like that.
Is like, you know, when you have a fucking debacle like this in anything, not just in Magic, but I mean in anything, it's like, how did you miss that? Like, do you not do any market research at all?
Exactly my point, right? So I started tweeting the shit out of them, and I got all these cryptic answers back. And I kind of was like, you're not answering my question, Aaron. Like, you're not answering. You're giving me these bullshit runaround fucking legal answers. It's like TSG's lawyer giving you advice. Like, it's stupid. Like, how can you not see Commander's Arsenal? You play the game and you've been developing the game and you were on the Pro Tour. I mean, all these people were in our shoes at one point. How can you not see that this would be the ultimate thing? Like, come on, man.
Right.
And if you honestly take a hard look at yourselves and the answer is we didn't see it coming, can you hire me or hire someone or any or implement anything that involves us? Because it'll save you face, it'll give us a better product, and most people won't get upset. Like, you know,
that's what market research is all about.
In the end of the day, people argue over this Portal 3 Kingdom bullshit, like the sharks. Oh, man, you know, you can't reprint Portal thing. You're going to make everyone so angry. The Portal 3 Kingdom stuff is not on the reserve list. Maybe I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, please, and call me an uninformed moron, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
That'll be a change for once. They'll be calling you an uninformed instead of me.
I don't know. It might be. I don't know. It's a 50-50 if it is or not. But even if it is, oh, come on, man. Fuck. Like, one day we need to abolish this bullshit reserve list, or please make a conservative effort to make those cards in a gold-bordered format or some way and put them in the hands of the people who want to play them casually.
Right.
All these cards that are worth, like, the loyal retainers at $170. Dude, come on, man. It's so absurd. Like, is it a card I'd want to play in Commander? Yep. So, it's a casual thing, man. It should be $5.
That goes back to proxies, like we talked about.
Well, I don't want to keep harping back on it because it does set a dangerous precedent for some people. But
right.
At $170, I'm proxying that fucking card, man.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. It's like, and I'm not saying like on a full scale, like, you know, fucking, well, fuck it, everybody go out and proxy all the shit that you want, so that this, you know, economy of like secondary economy of Magic just fucking fails. You know,
is that even a bad thing? Like, here's something that maybe this is a whole new topic for some economic people to get involved in. But, okay, Wizards makes money by selling packs. So, if at the end of the day, if cards sold for nothing, or basically $1 each, right? Let's say all Mythics were $5, okay?
Right.
And that was the most expensive card. Would it affect Wizard at all? No. And in fact, I believe they'd probably sell more, right?
See, I don't know. Like, I honestly, I've thought about this, and I actually disagree there. I think that, to an extent, because, I mean, for as much as we harp on some of the ridiculous pricing on these cards, and how it's bullshit, like, to a certain extent, you know, on a smaller level, that is part of some of the intrigue of it. You know, you crack open a pack not hoping that, like, oh man, I hope I got that really good common that works really well in this deck, you know, or that uncommon.
Yeah,
it's like, oh man, I really, it's like, because it's like, oh man, that's part of fucking opening cards regardless. And, I mean, it does give a little bit of a, like, it separates the power. Like, if everybody had access to every card in the format, I have a feeling that there's a good portion of people that would drop off because it would just get boring. Which also brings into, like, I mean, they're going to be, you know, your hardcore players, your hardcore players that, like, that really enjoy, you know, solving formats and brewing decks, you know. And when you, if you were to take like the monetary fucking side of it and get rid of that and just focus on what it's printed on the card, it doesn't really fucking matter how much it costs because you can get them all for the same price. Sure. You know, that brings a whole different side to it, but it also, I think, loses a lot of its allure.
The luster, yeah. You know what? You probably are correct. I think it's probably more a seesaw issue.
But there is such a fucking – the one thing with that, though, is because I know – I'm sure we'll – you know, there'll be plenty of people that will be like, well, if you feel that way, then how come you're bitching because Tarmogoyf's $100?
Well,
fuck you, because there's a thing called fucking – you know, there's a thing called salary caps. Like,
yes, yes, exactly.
There's a price cap on fucking cards, too.
I like that idea, salary cap. Cap on Thragtus.
Yeah, no shit.
And bonfires and fucking. You know what? No, you hit it. You hit the nail on the head. $5 is probably too cheap. Where you're right, you don't feel like it's a big deal. But when cards get above $30, I think that's probably the number where. Geez, man, that's it. Just it becomes a point where I don't play it. So then the card for me as a casual player, or not even a casual player, like I play all formats. I love this game. I love it. So. When a card gets to a point where it's like, I have to basically say, I can't play with that card, then it doesn't exist to me. Right. So I've never played with it. I don't see it. And I don't, and I'm not a, you know, I don't keep buying booster boxes to crack for sets. So I don't know.
I guess
it's got to be in balance.
Yeah, there is a balance there. Because, I mean, when you talk the difference between competitive, whether it even be like fucking Friday Night Magic all the way up to fucking Pro Tour level, you know, competitive when there's it is a competition, when there's money on the line, you know, shit like, you know, or prizes on the line, shit like that. Like,
yeah, I go borrow my cards off Facebook.
It becomes a little different because it's like, then if this is a competitive thing and there's money to be made and everybody just gets fucking all the cards they want for the same price, that's a little bit different. But then, like, for example, you know, sitting here in my house playing with fucking Daniel, when I put together my zombies deck, I was like, oh man, I really would like to be able to play this against some of the decks that you've built. Cause you know, he's built some, you know, this Angels deck and shit that's incredibly like overpowered compared to like my stuff that's more standard because he you know, we don't really have rules against that. Like I'll kind of build more standard stuff cause I'm more used to that. He's playing this Angel deck. It's all Angels, but he's got like fucking, you know, Baneslayer and shit in it. And it's like, you know, it all of a sudden it becomes an issue. Some of the cards that I have, because yeah, if I had access to fucking whatever the hell I wanted to, well, then I'm building modern decks and stuff. So like with my zombies deck, I was like, all right, well, check it out. I've got this one bonfire and paper that I have. These other Thunderous Wraths, the other red miracle that's fucking bullshit pointless. Those
we're
are bonfires.
Yeah, we're on bonfires.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's
bonfire. And, yeah, then, and like, sure. Or it just same thing as me taking, like I remember when I was kind of, you know, I'm sure plenty of people do this, but like I was dicking around like playtesting with a deck that I was building. I think it was when I was building that blue-green version of Delver. I wonder if these green miracles would work in this fucking deck. So before I fucking ordered them, I mean, not that they were expensive or anything, but before I ordered them, I'm like, hey, let's play a couple fucking matches with this, and took some the checklist cards that I have a million of, like your blank checklist cards, and I wrote fucking Revenge of the Hunted on it, put it in a sleeve, and that's in my deck. And
that's,
you know,
smart. You're just testing, right?
What I'm saying is, like, when you're playing casually, like, I mean, shit, at that point it's like, why do I even need to go buy those cards at all? You know, like,
well,
there comes a point where, like, you know,
I like the art, like,
yeah, definitely,
you know, I can't play with ghetto hand scribbled proxies. I just can't, man. Like, I guess I'm also in the creative industry, so for me, like, my version of that would be, I'd find the art, I would Photoshop it, and I would print it out, and I would glue it to a card, and I would get it to look exactly
That's exactly what I'm saying, too, because
that's my play proxy.
About, you know, if I wanted to do that, then, like, you know, okay, fine, then I'm going to order a fucking set of a shipment of fucking tokens, and I'm going to have some bonfires printed out so that I can play them here. Like, there's gray areas. There's got to be balance to it.
Yeah. Agreed 100%.
So I just think that, like, when you get into fucking, you know, especially when you're talking about, like, Commander and playing, like, EDH casual formats like that, then, yeah, I'm not going to go pay $150 for a card in my EDH deck. Like,
no.
There's no fucking reason for it because I'm casually playing with my fucking friends. If somebody wants to bitch about it and, like, you know, not that I have a big circle of friends to play EDH with, but if somebody's just like, oh, man, fuck this. I'm not playing with you because I, you know, I had to pay fucking thousands of dollars for my deck and you didn't have to and yours is on the same power level as mine. I'm like, all right.
Well, you just brought up an interesting point. So we played our first Heavy Metal Commander game with Durf and Norbert there, me and Kevy. And I got to say, it's interesting. It's my first real, like, playing kind of, like, get together at a time, put the headsets on and let's actually play a 3-hour game of Commander online. My initial perception is, man, I hate the fucking Commander interface online. It's just so messy. But what I think is very interesting about Commander is if you're playing with good people who are your friends and it's like, then it makes you want to play. You
right.
know? And it's almost more about the people you're playing with and not about the cards. Like, Durf's got some ghetto shit deck and it was hilarious. It was more about just the casual interaction of,
yeah.
of doing all this shit. It was less about who had what cards and
Durf's
how
care package.
yeah. It was really fun and I look forward to it and I'm like, I love it, man. I think that was really cool, you know? So
yeah, I had a blast. Maybe. Huge shout out to those two guys for fucking coming on and playing Commander with us. That was a lot of fun, you guys.
Yeah, for
Norbert
sure.
And Durfington.
Heavy Meta Thursday nights.
Heavy Meta Thursday nights. We're trying to get that thing going. I don't know that I'm going to be able to do it every Thursday night, but I'm sure we'll be able
try.
To rotate. Well, you know, even on nights that I can't, like, you know,
you're out, man.
People in and out.
You're out. There's a free slot.
yeah, there's a free slot open. But yeah, if you guys want to get at it, like I started a Heavy Meta clan on Modo. And then, which apparently I have to fucking invite people to, which is bullshit. Like, I thought that people could just, like, click on something and be like, oh, hey, can I come join your clan? And then I just say,
leader. Yes. You're the clan leader, you fucking KK bastard.
Yeah, I think what I might do, because I was, Norbert, when he added to the clan, he's like, send me an invite to the clan. And then, it told me that it was, that he was already a member of a clan, and he's like, fuck, I gotta try to figure out how to get out of this other clan. But the problem was, is he was the clan leader, and he had to appoint somebody as, like...
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know you could switch your appointee.
Yeah, you have to, because he's the clan leader, him leaving, he had to appoint somebody underneath him, and the other, like, two people in the clan don't play Magic anymore. So he had to figure out some way to get around it. But, like, I was thinking that. I was like, maybe I just need to do that. I'll just make you be the clan leader. I'll fucking leave the clan, appoint you, and then I'll ask to join back in. I'll put more of the responsibility on you.
Yeah, there you go. Shit will actually get done faster.
Exactly. Yeah, we've got that clan going on, and we're trying to get Commander games going on fucking Thursday nights. You know, have our
it's
friends.
Purely just for jokes, though.
Man. Yeah, just jump
Don't
in.
Don't go bring your competitive shut shit down and turn four. Well, actually, you know what? Go ahead. Do it. It'll be fun, because all I can say is, man, in that last game, I wish there was a Dr. Kevorkian card that I could have killed myself, because Durf wouldn't let me die. I'm like, just yeah. We need this game to die, man. It's 3 hours long.
Yeah, it finally. When we got to the point where, like, I was dead. I think.
No, you never died. This it glitched. So the game.
Yeah, we were going to concede.
We were going to concede, but we couldn't.
Oh no, that's right. We were going to concede if the glitch didn't figure its problem out. Then you and I dropped out.
Modo killed itself. It couldn't take it anymore.
Then it started working again, because I think, it just had too much of the both of us at the same time.
It's like, I can't take Kev anymore. I gotta die. But speaking of Modo and some of the lists, I'm sure you've heard the other topic going on, that is their decision to not post all the deck lists all the time. And you probably followed it on Twitter, and you've seen it. If you haven't, the short story is, obviously, I think they're getting a little bit worried that the hive mind solves formats way too fucking quickly. And you've got people like Smitty and others out there that it's a challenge. Like, to them, it's like crack. To solve the format, they don't sleep, right? Like, they'll sit there and just grind away till it's done. Where I'm not really like that. I like to brew and kind of play and try a deck one day, try another deck another day, but I'm not really like, I want to break the format, jump in a PTQ and knock it down, and then I want to see my deck on everyone's, you know, desktop the next day.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean,
see, I'm more the type, I want you motherfuckers to figure it out for me, and then I'll go buy the cards and win packs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone chooses it differently, but we can all agree, and maybe we can't all agree, but you should agree that solving the format too quickly does do one thing, and that is it makes it boring. So right. If you've played through the Cobblade days and we're playing through the Thrag Test days, and trust me, it's going to get worse, there comes a point when there is a small amount of cards that everyone has realized were not mistakes necessarily, but if they are, they're quickly recognized, but that they're a higher power than anything you can play. And it whittles it down to you play the strategy or the anti-strategy.
Right.
And that's when it comes to a two-deck format, which many formats eventually get to, it's just not fun. I mean, I've played a lot of formats and through a lot of blocks and a lot of standard seasons, and it's just, it really does get to a point where you're like, I don't want to log on and just play that deck again.
Right.
It's just the deck that's always around. And I understand that that makes sense, and I don't want that. Do I necessarily agree that banning all the information to these deck lists is the way to solve it? I don't know. I don't. I think
now,
there's so much else going on.
Now, from what I understand, though, and I vaguely remember something about this from Twitter. It was rather uninformed, also, as most of my statements are.
Do you start the segment with, I don't really know what the fuck.
Yeah, this is. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to say some shit and take a stance anyway. No, it's like it was pointed out. Like, I guess there are ways. Okay, they're not going to necessarily publish them.
Well, they're going to publish one.
Or yeah, they're limiting how they're publishing them.
Right.
But like I got from somebody, I don't remember exactly what it was, but there's another a different way. Like basically, it takes more digging, but you can still find the data.
Well, just think about it. This Matmoto isn't the only source, right? So
right.
Look at you've got SCG Opens, you've got
right.
SCG Player Championships, you've got all these things, and on top of all that, you've got regular GPs, PTQs, all this shit. So, yes, I guess publishing weekly full dumps of all the winning deck lists is a resource that
is kind of the same thing as like what it almost kind of slows the metagame on Moto down
think,
to the paper speed.
No. I don't think it does at all. But I think what it does do is it makes lazy people have to work harder, and that will reduce.
Fuck.
Exactly right. So it reduces a lot of people who say, it's not worth the trouble to go dig all this shit up. Now, does that mean that there won't be some really intelligent person that's going to go do that and publish and make a lot of money?
Yeah.
Nope. And it probably will happen.
Yeah, and they'll find the data, and they'll start a website. You know?
No, it'll go on Star City Games Premium, and you'll have to pay.
Oh, right.
Guaranteed. Mark.
Yeah, I agree there.
Right?
Now, question here too, and I'm just curious about this. Do you think limiting that information, like on Moto? Because it doesn't really like affect paper, other than like what I'm asking is, do you think limiting that information on Moto and essentially slowing the metagame down on Moto, like keeping people from solving a format?
It's not just Moto. No. See,
although what I'm saying, like, but it's mainly affecting like Moto.
No. So if you see what happens, like Jesse was talking about this earlier, where he says what happens is the set gets released, and now that we've got the faster Moto queue, where Moto's actually playing what 3 weeks after it comes out in paper, which is really fast now.
Yeah.
Those first 3 weeks in paper, it's not solved, right? But it only takes like a week. That's how quickly. Like, people get in 1 week and they're grinding the shit out of things. Now, don't forget, we also have the wide beta, and we have the private beta for people like me who get the cards like 4 weeks early. And we are brewing with them, and we are fucking around with them, which is a whole show for another topic I'll talk about. But it's so easy to play 100 games one night online, right? And just jam.
Oh, no. That's what I was getting at, is the fact that, like, I'm not saying that this doesn't affect paper cards. What I'm saying is, like, this decision to limit these deck lists is a photo thing. And what I'm asking is, do you think that is going to slow down the paper format? Because you know, the metagame and the paper format, because you're going from, okay, you've got a tournament this weekend and a tournament next week. And everything that is figured out in between, like during the week, is how fast that fucking metagame shifts on Moto. And so taking some of that away and essentially slowing down the metagame on Moto, do you think that's going to slow down the paper metagame?
You know what? I don't know. I can tell you this right now. I think most, probably 60% of the field don't brew their own decks. So if you read an article and you're like, hey, man, you know what? I think this deck is the deck to play because here's the results. Here's the number crunch. They take the deck and they go, right? And that's probably why certain decks skyrocket in price, because so many people suddenly demand it. And maybe it results in stagnant, you know, metagames quicker. Who does actually benefit from this? Brewers. Like, now you can brew, keep your deck private, hit a tournament, and hopefully take it down, and people are like, what was that sick tech I just saw?
Right.
Do I think it actually is going to make more than like a 5% difference? No. I don't know. I think there's so much information out there that, yes, Moto was like the preferred format to do it quickly in. So let's say it adds a week, but I don't know. I just don't see it adding so much.
So like it adds a week to the time it takes to solve the format, depending.
You know what? At the end of the day, Wizards, like, design better formats. I'm sorry. At the end of the day, just design something that is like, don't put cards that are clear plants. Like, Thrag Tusk is a mistake, in my opinion. I'll come out early now, and I'll look like the fool later, but it is. It is bullshit. That card should have been 2 green, or it should have been,
right,
you know, a 4-2. But 5-3 coming with 5 life and the fucking token, it's just...
Like, and it's 1 green.
And you know what's funny? Like, Wizards, what they don't do, there's no one degenerate enough at Wizards. Like, they need to hire Smitty and stick him in a room and just say every card they design, like, Smitty,
break this.
Don't break it. Just, can you abuse this? Oh, I can fucking abuse this. Here, let's play 15 games in a row where I do this, this, this. And they're like, ugh, that's disgusting, right? But they don't play those games. They play fair. Right. So I can see them playing around the table like, oh, I cast my Thrag Tusk. Oh, man, you got me, man. I don't know, you know? But they don't go, I cast a Thrag Tusk, then I blink them, then I'll, you know, cloud shift, then I'll put an angel in, you know? They don't do those degenerate things. And if they do and they still let it out, what the fuck are you doing? Come on, man.
Then you start printing answers midstream.
You know what? Their answer to that is, we are a year out. So if Thrag Tusk is broken, you won't see an answer to it till 2/14.
No, that's what I'm saying. Fuck it. Like, watch how bad that would piss.
Look at all the hate right now. Community.
Like, right now, while Thrag Tusk is fucking just running like shit, like, everybody's just like, God damn it, that fucking card, that card. They just, like, they're like, hey, what could we do to fuck Thrag Tusk? And then let's just print it now. Yeah, no, let's just print that card right now and start throwing it in Return to Ravnica back and just start doing shit midstream and just fucking somebody.
It could be. I mean, you know what's funny?
There's the future of, like, that's how you keep the metagame.
Printing on demand?
No, not even printing on demand. Like, there's always, like, a set of, you know, but with every set that gets released, you do the spoilers, the fucking set comes out, shit happens, and then there's always this Magic Mystery 5, like, one card.
I think that's a great idea.
It comes out midstream that nobody gets to know anything about until they're released halfway through the set.
Well, take, for instance, like, all the graveyard hate that is killed... That is unfortunately killed the reanimator strategy, which is hilarious because it was all meant to kill Snapcaster.
Mm-hmm.
And because their answers come so late that it tourniqueted the great strategy of, you know, reanimator, which really can't exist now. There's so much hate for it. It's dead. So, you know, like, you made a mistake. You made Snapcaster, and like, shit, now they overcompensate with three sets in a row where they print so much hate that it's, you know...
hated it out so far that they went, like,
It's like spraying weed kill... It's like taking a blowtorch to your fucking lawn to kill weed.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So I don't know how they're going to handle Thrag Tusk besides making Big Papa Thrag Tusk that's 4/4/6 and he drops 2/3/3 piece. Like,
yeah,
I shouldn't say that because they might actually do.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's a great idea, and now we got to deal with that guy.
So I don't know. I guess that's our take on things. Who knows? I mean, I applaud Wizards for trying to keep the formats fun, and I think that's the most important thing, because I could care less about $100 Tarmogoyf and fucking all the things we bitch about. If the game isn't fun, then that's the biggest, like, I'm not going to play. I don't care what anything costs. You can give me Thragtos for free. If I don't want to play with them because it sucks and it's a boring format, then, you know, that's...
Well, that's where I've noticed I get into, like, that's when I get more into Limited. When it gets to the point where the format is just, like, kind of, like, right now, I just don't have the desire. Like, you know, I still haven't written a fucking article for fucking Spencer. Like, I feel bad, but it's like, because I have no motivation to play Standard. I started messing with Smitty's Jund list. And I kind of made some tweaks and stuff and made it more like a, you know, this amalgamation of fucking his Jund list and like the bump burn list that I was playing before. Oh, yeah. And like, it works. It's actually done surprisingly well. For what I thought it was, because it's still kind of in shambles. I'm like, I've got a bunch of two ofs in there that like some of those need to leave and others need to become four ofs, but I'm still kind of just testing the waters and seeing how it works. But it's done pretty well. But at the same time, I just don't have the motivation to fucking play Standard because like it's just not fun right now, you know. And I know it gets to those points where it's not fun, and maybe it's just not fun because I'm not winning. But like then I go, all right, I don't even feel like playing Standard right now. So Maddie, let's go draft Return of Ravnica. And
I won't refuse that, man.
Yeah,
exactly. Anyone has to play that, I'm in. And I mean. Ugh, anyways, we're just sucking Ravnica's dick right now because it's so good. We just love it. But anyways,
and you don't have to deal with Thragtusks.
No, well I ran into a Thragtusk on the
week. Not when you're drafting Return to Ravnica.
Yeah, that's right. There ain't no Thragtusk in there. But I did. I ran into a real life Thragtusk.
I remember that. Yes. Yeah. So did he have the token with him?
I don't know, man. I had a Doomblade though in my pocket. I don't know if I could take away. So check this out. So I had the weekend from hell. My kids get sick and I'm up all night, and then the next day I'm like, all right, I got to go to Costco. And so I'm like, all right, come on, girls. And I got two little girls with me. So the wife is like, all right, I'll come with you. So, you know, first of all, you don't go to a fucking Costco on the weekend. That's rule number one. Never fucking do that because it's a horrible place. So we're
actually it's kind of like Walmart on the weekends in that it's an awful thing to deal with. But at the same time, just for those out there, any of you like suffer from depression at all, the best cure for depression
is going to
go to Walmart or Costco on a fucking weekend, because you can walk around and like suddenly your life doesn't seem so bad.
That is kind of what happens. So it's rammed. Yeah. It's rammed, right? So, you know, we're trying to weed our way through the insane aisles of crazy people. And, you know, there's a jam up and I'm waiting. So some guy, you know, my kids are sitting in the cart and one's hanging off the front. So, you know, I'm standing there waiting as people mill about and I feel something hit my ass. So I'm like, oh, someone must have bumped into me, right?
For your first thought is Kevy.
What are you doing out there? So I'm like, what the fuck, right? So I turn around and I see this, like, guy, and he hit me with the cart. So I'm like, whatever, I don't even give it a second thought. Like, I expect that. It's a busy place, right? Guy hits me again. So I turn around and I look at him, and while I'm looking at him, he takes the cart and hits me again. Now, my wife knows me, and she's like, oh, shit.
Oh, it's on! It's on!
Yeah, but no. So I look at the guy, like, and I'm dead in the eyes, and I'm giving them, if you fucking hit me again, I'm going to fucking choke you right now. He hits me again. I grab the guy by the collar, I pull him right fucking close, I take his cart and throw it into the aisle. Like, just, I threw his fucking cart, all his groceries, all... And I grab the guy and I go, if you fucking hit me again, I swear to fucking God. And I'm whispering in his ear, right? And like all these people are like, oh my God, what's he doing? And I go, I'm going to fucking kill you, you fucking motherfucker. Right? And the guy doesn't say anything to me. So I let him go. Guy picks his card up and we're turning down the aisle. Guy pushes past me again. And I swear to God, I put my hands up in the air, and my wife just grabs me. And she jumps. she jumps up from behind, she grabs me, and she's like, honey, you gotta stop. You know, so, and my girls, I didn't want to make too much more of a scene, you know, because I would have just had to start beating this guy to death.
And I get this visual of, like, somebody to do that over and over.
Yeah, but
like,
to hit me once, then to hit me again. Yeah. But when I look at you and you hit me in the dick, like, I turn around and you hit me in the dick. What are you doing? Maybe he was on drugs. I don't know.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I get this visual of, like, this weird homeless guy in a tinfoil hat that is completely disconnected from reality.
Costco, he was a normal-looking dude. I don't know. But, you know, so here's the best. So, of course, my girls are like, oh, Daddy, what's going on? I'm like, oh, nothing. That's just a rude person. You know what I'm trying to play it off? Like, you know, I don't want to scare them or anything, right? And the wife is looking at me. She's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you had the control to not just take the guy out. And I'm like, she didn't have to throw the fucking cart, though. And I'm like, just throw the cart or throw him into the fucking freezer.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm like all pissed off, right? I'm like, whatever, I gotta forget this guy. So we're in the checkout, okay? And the guy pulls up in the checkout next to us. Okay? Now this is the best, okay? He pulls up in the checkout next to us. Okay, and he's looking at me and giving me the eye. And I'm like, are you serious? Are you trying to get me to go to jail?
The guy's got a suicide note in his jacket pocket. Like, he's just trying to get somebody to kill him.
Now, this is karma, okay? As I'm like, all right, I'll stare you down, you dumb motherfucker. And I see the guy take some stupid Costco, I don't know what it was, some soap or something, and he puts it in his jacket pocket in line. Now, I worked way long ago in the retail industry, and I was part of, like, you know, trying to catch shoplifters. So I'm like, okay. So I tell the lady on the checkout, I'm like, the guy just stole something. I saw him put something in his pocket, right? And she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, look. She turns around, and there's a giant bulge in the guy's jacket. And so the girl's like, I don't really want to get involved, right? So I see the manager, and I'm like, come here. He's like, is there a problem? I'm like, yeah. And I tell him, this guy's fucking stealing. You better go look at his shit. So the man pulls him out. He pulls him out. The guy opens his jacket. He was stealing all kinds of stuff.
Oh, he'd stolen a bunch of shit already.
A bunch of shit all falls out, right? And so they take the guy away, right? And I'm like, if you're to all the shoplifters out there, not that I promote that, but if you're stealing things, you don't
start shit with people.
Don't start hitting someone with a cart. Because now I have a vendetta to take either damn.
Oh, man. He's like, man, hurry up and get the fuck out of here. I've got shit in my jacket. And like, hurry up. He was just trying to get you to hurry along.
Now, the best is, as he's getting taken away, I do the slow clap. My wife's just like, oh,
I'm so proud of you for that.
Oh, it was good, eh? A lot of people. It wasn't just me, like, because it was packed, right? So a couple other people are, like, doing the slow clap. And I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, you got heavy metal. Get the fuck out of here.
Yep, you can fuck off. I love it, dude. Right on.
Yeah, so that was my fight.
Fight Club story.
My Fight Price Club story, yeah.
Yeah, Fight Price Club.
I don't know if you've ever into a fight or two, but I bet you have.
Oh, yes, I have. There are plenty of those stories that I give you. I don't really tend to, like, I don't do that shit anymore. Granted, there are times.
But Kevy's answer to when I tweeted that was like, yeah, you choke system and light him on fire.
Yeah, you fucking choke him and then light him on fire when you leave. No, I definitely had my more violent days when I was younger. You know, I've knocked that shit off a bit since I had my son. I'm like, well, I can't really go to jail. Like, I've been lucky so far. Like, I haven't had to go to jail for getting in a fight, and I haven't just – I mean, I've gotten my ass kicked before, and I've beat some asses. But luckily, like, nothing, like, life-threatening or anything. Like, I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I got to knock that shit off. Because usually it would just be – you know, I'd be out at a bar having a good time with my friends. And I was never really the type to, like, you know, I'm not the type to go pick on somebody, but there's always somebody asking if they're ass kicked at a bar. And so I'd, you know, be drinking whiskey and somebody would need it. And so I'd be more than happy to oblige. And at times, like, it, you know, there's been times I got my ass kicked before, and there's been times it's been brutal. So I've got lots of interesting fight stories that I'll have to tell over these episodes if we get to those.
Yeah, if we get there.
Yeah, if we ever make it to those. But like a quick short one that like a
quick short one.
We had a show here at our at a local place. This was a show we played. I don't want to say it was like a year ago, something like that. Well, you know, we're after we get
the details, man. You can keep the details vague.
Yeah, no shit. Well, that is, what I'm saying is it was a little while back. But basically, like, what it comes
statute
down
to... the limitations is past.
Yes, that's, yeah, it wasn't that far back. No, the best part about it... Okay, so we get done with this show. You know, we've got, like, you know, locally here, there's a lot of fucking... You know, we've got a lot of fans. And we know them all, because it's a small town. You know, we know, like, well, most of these fucking people. You know, I'll have people come up to me all the time that are just like, oh, my God, you fucking... Band. Or, like, you know, in the store and shit like that. People are like, you play bass with Barstool fans? Well, yeah, man. Or I'll see people wearing our shirts and stuff, which is just weird to me. But, you know, it's one thing in town, but seeing it out of town is a whole different story. But anyway, so, like, you know, I know most of these people, but there are still a lot of randoms that I don't know. Well, we get done playing the show, and we're all kind of trying to scramble to figure out what we're going to do afterward, because usually we end up, you know, closing the show out, and it's, you know, it's time for the bar to close, and which means, like, you know, the bar time says it's 2 o'clock, which means it's, like, 20 minutes to 2, and so everybody's scrambling to, like, figure out an after party situation, because nobody had the foresight to figure something out beforehand. So we're like, okay, somebody's got to go get booze, then we're all going to fucking Pete's house, we're all going to do this. And so I get kind of like caught up in this whirlwind and thrown in, like, me and my girlfriend get thrown into the truck of, like, the back seat of a truck of, like, somebody's friend kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of us in there, like, it was, you know, both my guitar players and their wives and me and my girlfriend, and then the guy driving and his girlfriend, all shoved into this ridiculously high, like, this two-story lifted fucking out of hand, like, F-250. Like, this thing, like, is taller than my apartment. Like, it's retarded. So we got, you know, have to climb
taller than my apartment.
Yeah, have to climb up the stairs to get into it. Like, literally, like, when you're standing next to...
Oh, it's one of those with, like, 20 tires or shit?
Yeah, it's just fucking huge tall. So, like, when you're standing next to it, you're, like, you know, I'm 6 foot tall, and, like, my eye level is right about at, like, the bottom of the door jams kind of thing. And,
them trucks. So,
we're up in this fucking, which I don't condone big trucks, by the way. I think they're...
Neither do I.
Retarded. I think they're overcompensating, and I just want to push them over. They look top heavy, and I want to push them over. Anyway, but it was a ride home, so fuck it. So we're in the back of this big-ass fucking truck, and everybody's still trying to get shit figured out. Well, we've got Gino, who's the bass player for a band, you know, a local band here that we play with a lot. He's sitting in the seat next to me, next to the door. And, like, he got back out because he was going to try to find his wife, and like, it was taking forever. We're sitting there forever. All of a sudden, this weird-looking random dude I've never seen before comes starting to climb into the truck. I'm like, nah, dude, and I kind of, you know, no, this isn't your ride.
Yeah, you give him the nice way. It's okay.
Yeah, no, I was really nice about it. But then, like, you know, he kind of, like, steps back down, and then he steps back into the truck again, and I was like, hey, dude, this isn't your fucking, and you know, everybody else is kind of like, oh, dude, you need to get out. That seat's taken. This isn't your ride home. And so then, like, he steps back down, and I'm kind of looking around, like, waiting for Gino to come back, and then all of a sudden, his little fucking, is like this Mexican dude, like, his little fucking head pops in, like, it's hard to explain without you being able to see it, but, like, he was...
Are you going across the border, man?
Yeah. No, he was in the bed, he wouldn't say anything, but, like, he's in the bed of the truck, and kind of reaches his head around, like, over the top into the back window of, like, or the back door frame, and I'm like, I'm all, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And he starts climbing around and into the fucking seat, and at this point, like, I start, like, kind of pushing him, like, oh, hey, dude, get down, you need to go, this isn't your fucking ride. Gino comes walking up, and Gino's just like, doesn't know what's going on. He's like, what the fuck? So Gino climbs up, gets in the seat next to me, and I think we're about ready to go, and we're about to go. This guy climbs back up again and tries to basically, like, I don't know if he's trying to sit on Gino's lap or climb over Gino to just grab some floor space in the back seat of a fucking pickup truck. I don't know. But he's climbing back in again over Gino's fucking, like kind of over his lap, and I just snapped. I was just like, nope, I've told him enough times, and I just all, this isn't your ride, bitch. And I just crack, just fucking drill this dude in his jaw. And I didn't think about the fact that we're in this truck that's like two stories tall. So I threw everything into it, and I dove at him when I hit him.
Oh.
And so, I dive at this dude. I ended up having to go to the emergency room a few days later because my elbow was like, I landed on my elbow. I dove out of this truck, like, hitting this dude. He falls backwards. My elbow is the first thing that hits the fucking pavement. And so my elbow a couple days later was, like, the size of my fucking leg. And
oh, my God, so dude.
I fucking land on this dude, and I just start pummeling the shit out of him. And fucking he kind of, like, skirts away, gets away, like, gets out of it and stands up and starts kind of running back towards the bar. And I chase after him. I'm all, hey, motherfucker, and he turns around, pop him one more time in the jaw. The bouncers at this point have come out and run out and, you know, gotten to us, pull us apart. I'm all, get the fuck out of here, you know, fuck off, dude. And so I turn back around, I go get in the truck, we go home. Well, the ending to this story is the next time we were at Partners, the bouncers are all standing around. I'm standing outside having a cigarette, and he's like, oh, dude, he's like, that guy that tried to get into the fucking truck with you guys? I'm like, yeah, that shit was crazy. What was that guy's fucking deal? Is he like a fucking crackhead or what? Like, he just kept trying to get into the truck, and I told him over and over, no, you can't get in here, till I finally just had to hit him. And he's just like, I kind of feel bad. We all told the dude, we gave, like, we grabbed the money in our pockets. We all gave him like $7, I think was the total, to go try to get into the car with the band and go home with them.
Oh, they told, that's so bad, dude. They told him to go in there.
Oh, yeah, so it was like he was hanging out outside, and I guess the bouncers just all, hey, dude, why don't you go try to get in the fucking, I don't know if he was like looking for a ride home anyway, but they're like, oh, dude, we'll give you this cash. I got $7. Here, I'll give you $7 to go try to get in the truck with the band. The guy tries to get in the truck and just gets pummeled.
You lost, dude. The band beat you to death.
It's like he could not have expected that. Like,
no, I wouldn't either, man.
It's like, man, we're, you know, worst case scenario, they're gonna tell me no. No.
Yeah, they did with their fists.
Yeah, I did with my fist. Oh, but yeah, that was one of many that that cracked me up though, when the dude's just all, I feel really bad. We told that guy, we gave him $7 to try to get in the truck with the guy. And then we see you dive out the fucking door and start pummeling on this guy. I was like, yeah, sorry.
So to all you people that are trying to hook up us for Vegas, Kevin is on the
I was very protective of
security. It's your pass. You got a pass for this house? Get the fuck out of here. Bam.
Yeah. We're gonna need to have some sort of credentials. Like, when we go out, like when we play like bigger shows, like festival shows,
passes.
We have like our passes, like our backstage passes and stuff like that, so that like they know that we're allowed to be back there. And we might need those for the house.
Yeah,
like,
hand out heavy meta passes.
Just, yeah, hand it out like heavy meta laminates.
I'll make them. Yeah, sure, man. People are gonna like, what the fuck do these guys think they are? They live in their own world.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it's
show up with their own passes to an event.
Our own event passes, like event laminates and shit. Watsy's all, man, our laminates don't look that good.
Yeah. Fuck up. Hey, you got a wristband for the event? Dude, I got a heavy meta band. What are you talking about, man? I got backstage. You know how much it cost me?
Yeah, you know how much it cost me? You know, the greatest part is it is kind of like we're living in our own little world, but it seems like that world is growing exponentially. Like, the population of this heavy metal world is getting crazy.
If they ever make a new SimCity, I'm making a city called Heavy Meadow. We'll see how many people come live there. It's a fucking crazy place. Don't shop it.
It's not nuts, man. Like you know, I that's one thing I gotta, you know, all you guys, all our fans out there, like, I really appreciate all the attention we've been getting. I mean, we're just here doing this, like, we're like, hey, fuck it, let's have a blast, you know, let's start podcasting, but we'd like to try to bring some more production value to that, then, you know, because, you know, I've said it before, you know, we are not professional Magic players or anything. But we'd like to entertain you guys for the hour.
We are professional entertainers.
We are. I am a professional entertainer. Maddie is a professional entertainer. We're, you know, that's what we're here for, is to entertain you. And so we really appreciate the feedback we've been getting, like Maddie said earlier in the episode, and basically just, you know, you guys
keep it coming.
And spreading the word. You know, it's that our of course, our best form of advertisement is you guys on Twitter that are just, you know, posting the link and stuff like that. I've gotten, you know, I've seen a bunch of you guys do that, and then all of a sudden it translates into, like, all of a sudden I start getting more followers and people saying, hey, like, you know,
it's digging the heavy meta effect.
Yeah, exactly. We spread like venereal disease.
There you go. So I think you've naturally taken us to the shout out part of the show. Yeah, I think.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I'd say we're far enough in. We're about what, hour and a half in.
Yeah, hour and 30. And I know we've had complaints that it's too long, and some people have said it's not long enough. So fuck, I don't know what to do. every second week we'll do a 4 hour. We'll do a marathon.
we'll do the 4 hour marathon podcast, but you're not going to gain any information out of it. It's just gonna be us drunk talking about shit.
Yeah, well, it'll after about hour two it starts to just become garble. where there are so many tangents and so many sidetracks that we're doing an infinite loop around.
Exactly. And at some point somebody just has to end the call so that we have the ending of an episode.
Yeah, well, the computer will just blow up and be like, I can't take any more of this shit. These guys won't stop.
Exactly.
So I'll start all with right. Shout outs. I want to shout out Helen Bourdeau. I want to shout out Lee Sharp. I want to shout out Trick Jarrett. I want to shout out a lot of the Wizard guys. I mean, even Aaron Forsyth and Mark Rosewater. I know sometimes I'm a little hard on you guys, and I complain that there isn't interaction enough, but I'm watching Twitter, man. I see you responding, and at the end of the day, it means a lot to me personally, and I think it means a lot to the players that you interact with some of the more vocal members of the community. And, I mean, at the end of the day, all we want to do – fucking, there's that catchphrase again. end of the day. we just want to make the game better, and we want to feel like it's ours. I guess that's, you know, every Magic player wants to feel like they had a contribution, even if it's a very, very, very small part in something. So,
nah, fuck you. I just want to win.
Yeah, well, you're a Rakdos, so there you go. Now, I also said I would throw a shout out to a fellow young podcast group. They're called Tap and Sack. You can follow Houston Whitehead or Inferno Hoodie on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Their lead dude. He's a cool guy. Check him out. They're young rock and cast, kind of like we are. Good dudes. And, you know, again, anyone we can help out, it's not a competition. But if it was, we'd win.
Oh, of course.
No, just kidding, guys.
It's because I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Kevy would just punch you. If it comes to physical blows, it's over.
Yay! Physical blowing.
Oh, wait. Get the fuck out of the cast, bitch! Punch him.
Get out!
It's a good thing these casts aren't done face-to-face, because they would just degenerate, eh?
In a fight.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, I mean, I want to shout out basically the Wizards people this time. And just say, hey, thanks, guys. I'm very appreciative of the game. It's awesome. And, hey, the game is so good. You know, if you get so many people that are so passionate about it, you guys are doing something right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why we're here. I mean,
magic for life, right? Dick right now. I ain't getting off this crack yet.
I'm getting the mana symbols tattooed on my neck.
I don't know about your neck, man. But
no, I seriously have thought about it. Like, I wanted to get the five mana symbols tattooed, but then I actually the other side of my neck, that'd be fucking perfect. So I think I might end up doing that. Yeah, match that for dedication, bitches.
No, there is a guy. I've seen him online. You can Google the guy that has the mana symbols on his face.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, he did that across the board. You got put down.
Yeah, no shit. Well, let's have that guy on the cast. Let's get him to Vegas. I'll kick his ass.
Kick his ass? No, we got to put him outside. He'd be amazing as a doorman.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's him up in one of those fucking uniforms. Like, they have it like New York townhouses, but he's just got mana symbols on his face. And he's like, welcome.
No, imagine if we could get giant mana symbol brass knuckles. One red, one black, you know? And you see the guy like, what are you? I'm Rakdos, bitch. That would be so cool.
I love it.
So anyways, you're up, man. Who are you sharing?
Right. Let's see. I got to give give some love to Jack LaCroix. Said some very, very nice words about us on Twitter the other day, and I really appreciate it. I respect that guy's opinion a lot. You know, and for him to come out, and it was kind of one of those things. It wasn't like he's like, "Hey, Kevin, I like your cast." Like, you know, he just, I happened to stumble upon him saying some good words about us in another podcast, Card Advantage, that I haven't got to check out yet, which I do plan on doing. So a preemptive shout out to those guys. But yeah, Jack is a really cool dude, and to have him, you know, just jump out and say some really good things about us, you know, meant a lot. Let's see.
Absolutely. You know what? I gotta jump in there and steal a little of your shadow thunder there. But Jack, I mean, I like Jack. I've followed him for a while now. I think he's one of the funnier, wittier, casters, entertainers, writers out there. I know he says he's the bitter, better man, but I think he's just great, man. I think he's an entertainer, and I think he does an excellent job at what he does. So for him to say that for us, thanks, man. Means the world to me.
Hell yeah. Other than that, let's see. Give another shout out to Daniel, because I got to get all fucking hammered drunk and play Magic with him the other night. That was a lot of fun. I don't know. I don't really have any that stand out to me this week. I mean, like, other than, you know, all of you guys, like, collectively, like our premier membership group, all the guys that have really been out there hitting the fucking Twitter streets and fucking spreading the heavy metal love, you know, some of those guys, like Ben Clinton is one of those.
He's the bomb, man. You
know, he's
shout out,
really spreading it. And I know there's a couple other you guys that have really been doing it for us. I can't think offhand, probably because I have to pee really bad. So,
well, you know, so what?
It's disrupting my train of thought, but, no, you guys have all been fucking great about spreading the love. One more fucking big one to KYT, of course, for keeping us around for yet another week.
Yeah.
And Mana Deprived, I guess that's about it, man. I'm.
Well, the last one I'm going to shout out to Robot Large. I know he had a hard week.
Robot Large, of course, always gets.
I mean, he sounded like he had a hard week, and if anyone knows Robot, he's always on point. So to hear him. Hear him having a tough week. We're here for you, buddy.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Like, he was really, you know, something was really bothering him. And, you know, I
just want. We're here, man. We're here, so.
Absolutely.
And we won't fire you yet.
Yeah, you're not fired.
Your job as chauffeur and, what is it, shady dealer around the corner?
Yeah, shady junkie mixtape dealer, like heavy metal beta version mixtape dealer.
We got you, man. We got you back.
Hell yeah, of course.
So that is the shoutouts for episode 3. We're still here, people.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, we're still here, unfortunately. and we'll see you motherfuckers next week. Yeah. Go fuck yourselves.
Oh, no, 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 man. I thought the whole point was this time we were going to do it clean.
Absolutely not. I refuse. These people need to be kept in check. We don't want them getting uppity and thinking that we like them.
Oh, no. What, you can't say that at all, man. The fans are everything. Without them, we'd just be fucking two crazy people just talking on their fucking...
And the thing is, we'd still be doing it. Like, if we didn't have...
Ourselves. We'd be in a bubble just doing it ourselves.
Oh, fuck you guys. I love you all.
Well, there's nothing else to say. I mean, Kevy is Kevy. He is what he is, man.
You know there's love there. It's
my ass hurts from all the love, man. Let me tell you.
Yeah, my love is a stern love, I'll tell you what.
It's stern, it is long, and it is hard.
Yeah, long, hard, and stern.
And it is uncomfortable, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's just usually uncomfortable for everybody in the room.
Oh, it is, man. The smell alone just knocks you right out.
Oh, no.
I had to go there.
Oh, the smell of love, baby.
The smell of love, man. All right, everybody, so thanks a lot. We'll catch you in episode 4.
Good week. Yeah, well, I guess this comes out on Friday, so have a good weekend. And, we'll see you guys the following week.
Later, buddies.
Peace out.